station on 2. I can do comm checks on 3 and 4 now, if you like.
Houston's ready for you.
Okay, you want to start on 3?
Houston, Chris on 2 for Safer. I'm putting new batteries into Safer number 15. Serial number 1015.
Houston copies, new batteries in 1015.
Houston, station on 2 for Safer.
Houston's here for Safer.
Hey Michael, just letting you guys know, so far when I'm trying to boot up Doug with the VRT headset attached, it just doesn't boot up at all. I think Chris was successful fairly recently using SSC10, and his procedure actually called out SSC10, so I've been trying to use that one since I know that's the one that we have the right config in order to use Doug successfully, and we have been using Doug successfully on SSC10, but this morning with the cables attached, I have not been able to get it to work. I've restarted it multiple times, and now I'm just going to reboot the computer and try again.
Okay, we copy. Let us know what the reboot helps.
All right, copy.
Unix station on 2 for ARSK.
I'm Unix station on 2.
I'm in step 6.2.2, and there is something appearing when I rebooted the acquisition unit for the second time. I have a boot menu appearing, and I have 5 options. One is ATA HDD with a whole bunch of numbers. Second is ATA HDD1 with a whole bunch of numbers behind. 3 is internal shell for Windows Boot Manager inside Windows Boot Manager. And this, I do not recall that we had this last time, so just wanted to know what I should press.
And Sophie, we are checking. In station Munich on space to ground 2 for Sophie and AMIT-K.
With you.
Hey Sophie, so the recommendation is to switch off the acquisition unit, wait for 10 seconds, then switch it back on and resume at step 5.4, and we hope that resumes the issue.
Okay, I understand. Which method do you want me to use for switching off this thing? I mean, the soft button or the hard button?
And you want the back switch of the acquisition unit.
Okay, so it's a hard stop, like a...
And that's affirmative. And while I have you, also, we will give you more words for the IFOD activity later on.
Okay. All right, so I did this. And, of course, now I have the same problem as usual, is that it's... impossible to power on, so I'll try again, but we might expect to have not a nominal situation this morning.
I'm in a copies, and we will investigate. Thanks for your work.
Unix from Sophie, after trying several times, it finally worked, so do you want me to enter the BIOS again or not?
And Sophie, we copy, good news, and just let us know what you're seeing at the moment, if you see the BIOS setting or something else.
I see the real-time clock error, check date and time settings, and press F1 to continue or F2 to enter setup. The same thing that I saw on 6.1.1, figure 18.
And Sophie, you can continue pressing F2 and follow the procedure.
And once again, I cannot press the start button, so I will try again, but it's not 100% success rate.
I'm using copies, and we understand that you are fighting with the button, and we hope you win this morning.
Unix station, Sophie and 2 for ARSK.
And Munich is with Jan 2.
Plans are ready to be pressed remotely.
And Muni copies, good news. Great job.
Thank you. How much time do you expect just to know if I go prepare the E4D activity and come back later, or just stand by here?
And to see if the USB key is currently connected or not?
The USB key is connected, yes.
And Sophie, you can be released for 10 minutes because we need KU back, and if you find good use of that time, we can see you back in 10 minutes for AVET-K.
Great. So I'll be going to prepare the other activity, and meanwhile, please call me back when you're ready.
And we will do so. Perfect.
Houston, switch on to the paper.
Jessica, Houston's with you.
Yeah, just letting you know, I did eventually get it to work. It took multiple reboots of SSC10, but then finally it did work normally.
Okay, copy. Joy after multiple reboots.
Uxbell Station, Jack on 2-4 gears.
Good morning, Jack. I assume you arm wrestled Jessica for SSC10 and you have that well in tow?
Yeah, we are all set with SSC10, just did the reboot, so just want to know if we're working 3 or 4 today.
Sarah is going to meet you on Space to Ground 4 today.
Great, thanks very much.
Still station on 2 for LSG.
I'm with you on 2, Jessica.
The work volume is deployed, Lori. How are you?
That's great. I am doing great on this early morning. And you're looking great, too. Just wanted to see if you also, when you're switching those gloves out, if you could confirm the serial numbers for us, the one that's in, the one you're installing, and the other left one that you'll be taking out.
Not sure thing. One note on that, maybe we can, cover it when I'm getting an LSG later, but I do have those sweatbands that we have up here, like the wristbands. So what I was going to try with the mediums, I do believe, based on how they fit, that I'll still get a seal on the forearm, which is actually the same place I was getting a seal even with the smalls. And I think with the sweatbands, that can help even more. But I'm thinking that I won't have to tape. I just wanted to kind of see that that's my going-in plan.
We copy. We actually met about this yesterday, and so, yeah, that is an excellent choice to use the sweatbands. And, the closer when you get into LSG, I think there are some more tips about doffing the gloves that will help you along the way.
All right, copy. Thanks. Consultation on 2 for LSG.
Go ahead.
Well, actually, stand by, Lori. I was looking in bag 5109 for the medium, but I see I have to go to JLP for that. So hopefully it will be there. I will let you know if it's what.
Happy hunting.
Huntsville Station on 2 LSG.
Go ahead, Jessica.
All right, I have found the medium 10-inch 16-161, and I removed the small, which was 16-154. Just one note. The 16-161 is significantly more difficult to install. I can install it, but it seems to have, much of a tighter fit, and so it takes a lot of force to get it to lock in. I did just put it on and then remove it just to make sure that it wasn't going to get stuck or anything, and it didn't totally get stuck, but it does require a significant more force. I put the small back in one more time just to compare it and see, and the small goes in very easily like all of the other ones have been, but for whatever reason this 16-161 seems to have slightly different tolerance. So just wondering, it does go in, so I'm happy to use it, unless you think there was another medium in there as well, if you want to try that one instead.
We copy. We are good with this one for now, and we may try to grease that one up somehow a little later.
Okay, copy. And I did put my arm through just to see how it fits. It definitely does seal on the forearm. It just, goes a little bit higher up, but with those long gloves, I would have no gap. A little bit higher up on the glove. And I think that would be fine even without the sweatband.
That is great news, Jessica. Thank you for all the info. And Jessica, one more thing. That right sleeve that you aren't touching, let me confirm that serial number 17-148.
Confirm.
Thank you, ma'am.
Consultation on 2. One last question.
I am here for one more question.
I don't see the Ziploc bag specific for 16154 here. I can also look in the other CTV, or let me know if you know where that might be or have another plan for it.
Okay, I'll check on that. And I also want to give you a little more context. We think that that medium glove that was hard to get on probably hasn't been used very much, so we will probably set up an activity to grease it up a little bit because it probably hasn't been greased in a while either.
Yeah, that sounds good. When I put it on that last time, it's quite difficult. It takes a lot of force, so I would be worried, you know, about it maybe like getting stuck on there.
Copy all.
The bubble bag for the medium, 16161, do I leave that back in the JLP location where I found it, or do I put it in the closer location in 5109?
Stand by, Jessica, I'm talking to you. And Jessica, I'm back with you. Can you check 5109 and see if there's an extra bubble bag inside of there that you can use?
Yeah, I did look in the other CTB as well. So there are empty ones. Of course, there's the empty medium one for 17148. There's the new empty medium one that we just took the medium out of. And then there's two empty large 8-inch sleeves. But I'm not sure that I think these bags are smaller. Let me see if it'll fit. The 10-inch does not fit in the 8-inch bag because the bag itself is actually smaller. So I looked in both locations. There's no, I guess maybe the specific bubble wrap bags for those ones must have just not been kept. So I can go look through our bubble wrap bag collection if there's something else that fits, or I can just put this small that we removed in one of the medium bags, and I'll just relabel it and see what it currently has.
Yeah, Jessica, that sounds like a good plan for us. Just use the medium one you have there and relabel that for now.
Okay, sounds good. So I will be putting the small 16154 in the medium 16161 bag, but I will relabel it accordingly.
Thank you, and you will also just put that back into 5109.
Okay. Munich from Sophian 2.
And Munich is Sophian 2.
Yeah, I just think there is a small typo on step 17, decimal 3, decimal 1, mentioning figure 21, number 1, but actually it's figure 31 that I think is mentioned because figure 29 does not have the axle cover number 1 either labeled.
The mini copies, and yes, I forgot to tell you that there are some Easter eggs for you to find, and this is one of them, and there are more until the end of this procedure that the figure numbering is not always correct.
Oh, okay, good to know. Munich from Sophian 2, I'm step 17, decimal 3, decimal 7, and right before I have a check for call CC with this substance on the ergometer flange.
And Munich is with you on 2, so the background story there is that Chris reported during the install that there is some sticky substance on the ergometer, and we would like to see and check with you if the bottom edge of the ergometer is still sticky.
Which, so the flange is clearly has a lot of kind of interesting markings. Which button are you talking about?
And you see it shall be along the ergometer edge, there shall be some substance coming from the sticky tape, and we want to understand if it's still there.
So are you talking about what I'm pointing on the camera with my finger right now, this thing?
Unfortunately, we still have KU band LOS, so we cannot see it at the moment.
Okay. So let me press on and we'll discuss this again later when we have video.
And actually we have video, so if you want to point at it again, we are ready to copy. And then we can also move back to 3.
Okay, moving back to 3.
Edic, station Jax, with you on 2.
And Munich is with you on 2. Thanks for coming back to us. So we will need some help with our Columbus Payload Laptop 1, which is in call off 3 location. So let us know when you're there, and I give you more words.
Okay, go ahead.
So, hey, Jack, could you please check the EPM LAN cable is correctly connected? And could you please log in and give us a status of what you see?
Okay, the EDM LAN laptop. I'll check it's plugged in and log it in and tell you what I see.
And it's the call payload laptop 1 and otherwise good words.
Unit station, I'm Jack. Sorry, I'm a little bit lost. I think you said the EDM laptop, Echo Delta mic laptop?
And Jack, negative. We are looking for the Columbus payload laptop 1 in the aft 3 location.
Okay, sorry about that. I totally misheard. I am seeing the Columbus payload 1. The other half connected and the lights are on.
Could you please log in? If you need more details on how to log in, let me know and give us a status on what you see. And also, we still have...
Okay, and if it's not the standard ISS login, then I will need more details.
Yeah, and the basically, the connections... the login is in the Everywhere app, Prosecco, the file 99.1, and within that, the first entry.
Just give me a moment. Station check on 2. Successful login to Columbus Payload 1 laptop. The EPM virtual machine is loading right now.
Give me any copies. Thanks so much. And Jack, could you please stand by 1? We are still checking something. If
Munich station from Jack. 2, successful login on the Columbus payload laptop. The EPM virtual machine is loading.
And Munich copies, and we'll still need 2 minutes to check the status also on ground. If you could stand by, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, no worries. Let me know.
In Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Jack and the amazing news, the EPM and the whole script is running now as expected, so he'll fix it for us and you're released. Thanks a lot for jumping in.
Yeah, no worries, happy to help. I understand you want me to leave the laptop screen open or should I close it? Keep the whole physical lid.
And Jack, we would like to have it open.
I am leaving it open and let me know if you need anything else.
Thanks again.
Houston, Chris on 2-4 CDM data log.
Chris, we're listening. Go ahead.
Hey, this procedure says to use a NetOps laptop for this CDM setup, and it calls me to go work with NetOps 02 laptop, which is a Node 3 app 3. That laptop is not plugged in or powered up or anything, and doesn't have a power chain connected to it. Was just wondering if you actually want me to use that laptop or if there's a different laptop I should use, and if I should use that laptop. Looks like there might be a ZBook power adapter nearby that I can use, but just wanted to check.
Good question. We're checking.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and CDM.
With you on 2.
Okay, so we do need you to use that laptop. Only the MedOps laptops have this software configuration. You are go to plug it into a nearby ZBook power adapter.
Okay, yeah, there looks like to be a power adapter, I think it was 1112, that was hooked up to a cobalt brick that was turned off. That was nearby, so I'm going to plug it into that one and, boot it up and see what happens.
We copy, thanks.
Houston, Chris on 2 for CDMs.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I'm managing to get work. I just had a question. I did the first CDM and everything worked per procedure. For the second CDM, serial number 1021, there's no option available to download or to clear data. And the procedure says to clear data. I'm assuming this has no data on it and that I should just skip this step, but just wanted to check in with you guys on that before I finished up over here. Basically, there is no option to execute step 3.7 of 2.5.220. It's grayed out.
Okay, we copy. BME's looking into it. And Chris, we can confirm the fact that there's no option means there's no data. You can proceed.
That's good. Yeah, that's what I thought. It made sense, but just figured I'd check in. Houston, Chris on 2 for the MedOps laptop. Just was wondering what state you'd like me to leave it in. Would you like me to shut it down and disconnect it from the power chain and turn everything off like I found it, or would you like me to leave it plugged in?
Okay, Chris, that's entirely up to you. You can leave it on, or you can power it down and unplug it, whatever's convenient.
Okay, do you know if are we going to be planning on using this again in the near term to, like, download data from these or something? If that's the case, I'll probably just shut the laptop down to leave it plugged in, powered on, or with power charging it, that sort of thing.
And Chris, that's a good intuition. We're going to downlink the CO2 data from the EVA pre-breed, so after the EVA, probably in about a week.
Okay, copy. So I'll leave it plugged into its power chain and connected, but I'll probably just shut it down because if we're not going to use it for another week or so.
That works.
Thank you.
Bye, Sophie. Station Houston on 2 for Jack and a request for help with troubleshooting the brine transfer.
Go for Jack on 2.
Hey, Jack, we saw and then checked the connections in step 2.10 of that activity just to make sure everything is fully seated.
All right. Check the connections in 2.10 of my previous activity with CP. It worked.
Perfect. Thanks.
Houston, station Jack on 2.
Go ahead, Jack.
All the connections, are mated normally. There is definitely fluid inside the brine bladder in the brine processor. Not sure what else I can check for you.
And Jack, just to clarify, you had a good connection on both ends of the brine processor transfer hose. And Jack, that's the long hose.
Yeah, just double-checking it, the label. But again, the brine transfer hose is connected at QD41F on the UPA fill drain access panel, and then the other end is mated to the brine processor. And the compressor hose with the red tape connected to the compressor port, fill drain access panel, and then the other end of that is connected to the compressor.
All right, Jack, it seems that is not our culprit. So our next suspect is back in the bladder changeout procedure, which was your first activity after midday meal. If you could, please open up the cover and then check the connections that you made in step 3 of that procedure.
Work.
Thank you.
Houston, station Jackson 2, step 3.6 of that procedure, the bladder QD is mated to the brine's pipeline F2 QD. The red line is not visible. The brine bladder in here does appear to have quite a bit of fluid in it, so it does seem like some liquid got in.
Copy, Jack. We're talking it.
Okay.
Okay, Jack, we have two follow-up questions for you. One, can you report whether the bladder seems full or just has a decent amount of liquid in it? And then second, I think you would have told us, but just to verify, you don't see any signs of any leaks around the bladder itself. And we're 20 seconds to a handover.
And Jack's on two. No sign of a leak anywhere. And it's got quite a bit of fluid in here. I don't really have a sense of, like, it's not, like, bulging or, like, hot full, but I don't know necessarily that they get that full, but there is quite a bit in here. Do you have any techniques on to assess, like, what full looks like?
Okay, Jack, thank you so much for the extra data. For context, we just didn't see the exact same signature that we usually do when we do these transfers. But based on your description, it does sound like we got a good transfer.
All right. Well, happy to do any other troubleshooting steps you got. If you need them at some point.
All right. Thanks. No further troubleshooting for now. Just go ahead and please close that back up, and we'll get back to you when we're ready for the Part 2 activity.
Huntsville Station on 2. Just checking if we'll be on 3 or 4 for LSG.
Good Jessica, with you on 2, we'll be on space to ground 3.
B 3.
Let's spell Chris on 2 for Mobilograph.
Console's with you on 2.
Hey, I'm just picking up while Jessica's hopping in LSG, but I'm, yeah, finding the same thing that she did where it isn't detecting a device. When you plug it in, it I do get a little, if I like go into the device manager, it shows that there's the USB serial controller connected, but it has a little yellow triangle on it and says no driver for this device. So I just wanted to see if you guys had any troubleshooting steps we should try.
I think we've reached an end to troubleshooting today, but we thank you for wanting to help us. We're going to proceed in 4.1 and press in that procedure.
Copy. I will go into 4.1 of that procedure. Thank you.
Station Huntsville on Fifth Ground 2 for Chris and Mobilograph Stowage. Chris, I know we had a bit of a handover there with you and Jessica with Mobilograph, so I wanted to see if you could verify at the Coral Overhead 3 Charlie 1 Delta 1 location if the serial number 01 Mobilograph kit was in that location whenever you restowed 03. How copy?
Copy, and yep, I actually just restowed it, and I saw that there was another Mobilograph kit in there. I didn't actually look and see what the number was, but there was another bag with a full Mobilograph kit. I can double-check if that is number one, if you'd, you'd like. And I had no issues with the rest of the procedure. All the encryption stuff all seemed to work properly.
We copy all. Thanks for the assist, Chris. And we are very sure that that would be serial number 01. So thank you for that positive confirmation.
Awesome. Yeah, no problem. Glad to help. And Huntsville, this is Chris again. I've got the OCT set up, and I've logged out of the SOC, so it's ready for configuration from the ground.
And Huntsville copies all.
Thank you very much. And while I have you, Huntsville, as Chris on too, I know there's some deltas for the ERG stowage. I was just going to try to get ahead on that if I'm ready to take those, whatever works for you.
Excellent. Yeah, I have them now. So line item 1 of that ERG setup has you picking up some eye drops, and the one that we have in the stowage note is not the one that we're expecting in that location. We're actually expecting barcode 22102 Juliet, and if you find that one, let us know, but regardless, this will be being trashed in the end.
Copy. So I'm looking for barcode 22102 Juliet in Stow Note line 1.
Hey, sir, and then if you happen to find the one that's in the Stow Note, it'd be a surprise, so just let us know if you do.
Okay, yep, copy all, and I'll let you know if I find that one.
Thank you, Chris.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack and the recycled tank drain.
Some of these for the number 1 machine.
Nice. Jack, we are done with our cleanup after a little bit of troubleshooting there. We're happy with how the recycled tank drain is looking, so we are ready for you to pick back up in your timeline activity, and you've got to go in 3.1.2.
Go in 3.1.2.
Munich Station, Sophie M2 for AMRED
Canyon. Hi, Sophie, we're with you on 2, and if you happen to be calling at 1.2.1, you have a go.
Amazing. Go on 1.2.1. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Jack's on 2 for recycle tank quantity indicator.
Go ahead, Jack.
I'm checking out in 3.1.2, I'm checking out the recycled tank quantity indicator, and I see that the ball bearing is one ball bearing diameter above the empty indicator. I think we saw this last time. Just wanted to check in with you before proceeding.
Jack, we'd just like a picture, but otherwise that sounds good, and you can proceed.
Okay. Stan Jack's on 2 for Brian Chancellor.
Go ahead, Jack.
Just so I understand, or as another piece of data, the brine bladder appeared a little bit more full this time going in there than it did when I checked for you a half hour ago. Did you guys put more fluid into there, or what?
A firm, we did push a little more fluid.
Okay, all that makes sense then. So with that, the brine's pyli QD is demated from the bladder QD. The UPA fill drain valve is in the fill position, and the urine transfer compressor hose is disconnected from the compressor port, and the compressor port remains uncapped.
Good config, Jack. Thanks for your help with the number one machine.
Everyone wants to be a winner.
And so, station on two, just checking in if we'll be on three or four for Safer.
Jessica, your remote guidance team is available on private, station on four.
I'll be four, thanks. Houston, from Sophie on two, contact.
With you on two, Sophie, we just had a handover.
Mm, great, but I just called for this handset control unit mode switch that is on the test list, and I'm now going to do comm check over the VOX mode.
Copy, Sophie, and we are ready.
Station, comm check on VOX mode.
Got you loud and clear.
Loud and clear, too. Okay, so the HCU is fixed. It was the task and the test list that was added today, HCU troubleshooting. So it worked well, and all is nominal now.
Copy. Thanks for doing that, Sophie.
You're very welcome. So from Sophie, just I can let you know what I did to in all of the steps to troubleshoot and to solve the problem.
Yes, we would love the data.
Okay, so on step four, I did tighten the two screws, actually, and step five, I also tightened the 8mm hex nut, although this one I'm not sure it made a difference. I have the feeling that just the first two ones, the set screw one and set screw two, already fixed the problem.
Copy. Thanks for the information. And Cronus has no further questions.
Great. Thank you.
Station Houston on two for Jack and the UTS offload.
Jack, House of Offload Emporium of Grind Processors on two.
You're the man of the day. But we are running a little bit behind on our prep for your next activity. We're thinking we're not going to be ready for it until closer to 17:15, which we realize is right in between your two exercise blocks. So either you can take a break from exercise and knock it out, or we can try to convince one of your crewmates to take it over for you.
Between the exercise will be fine. No worries. Just let me know.
All right. Sounds good. We'll give you a call when we're ready for it.
Then station Sophie and 2 for Dragon SSC.
Go ahead, Sophie.
I see that at 6:45 today I have the swapping Dragon SSC task. Is Pluto still working on it, or could I do it earlier?
And Sophie, Pluto is okay with you doing that now.
Great. Thank you, Pluto.
Two big thumbs up from him.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Station Houston on two for Jack with a follow-up on brine processor bladder stowage CTBs.
Yes, ma'am.
So we have a question from ISO regarding the CTBs that contain any used bladders. True note on the unused bladders, and we're looking for a CTB number for the used ones.
Okay. And station checks on two. The used brine bladders are all in the 3.05050.
We copy. Thanks, Jack, and we'll see if we can come up with any more reasons to call you about the number one machine this evening.
No worries. Yeah, I thought it was, I put that curve because I thought it was odd in that for CTB 5072 that has the new ones, you know, the new ones come with a containment bag for the old one. So I was surprised to find two containment bags in there, but no new brine bladders in there. So that just struck me as odd, which is why I left the note.
Yeah, thanks for double-checking, and per ISO, that was what we expected to be in that bag.
Thanks.
Well, station associates 2 for converter mesh cleaning. Station Sophium 2 for converter mesh cleaning.
Station Tsukuba 1-2, yes, we copy all. Thank you.
That's complete and all was nominal.
Copy. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack again, but this time with a question about the safer GN2 checkout.
Jack on 2.
Hey, Jack. We are looking at the data you entered into Table 1, and we were only expecting one set of data. So we were wondering if you could give us some context as to why you gave us two sets of data so that the EVA team knows which one to use.
Houston Station, if I recall, that first column of data was already there when I opened up the procedure, so I must have hit the yes continue, so that the first column is probably a previous test of the system. The numbers I had were 96, 96, 39.6, and 45 seconds, and I think that should correlate to the second column, to the right column on the data that I saved in the procedure.
Perfect. That's exactly what we're seeing. Thanks for the help.
Sorry for the confusion.
No problem at all.
Huntsville Station on 2 for LLC.
Radio on 2, if you're calling for your go to Stowe, your go to Stowe.
Go to Stowe. Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack, as we see you floating by. We are ready for the UTS offload activity when you are.
I thought if I floated slow enough, you guys wouldn't be able to see me. Copy, you're ready for the next regen. I'll put that to work.
Thank you. Good try. And you formally are go in 1.1 on that procedure.
Copy, go 1.1.
Houston Station on 2 for sound.
Jessica, we hear you are hearing a hum in Columbus.
Yeah, we noticed it when Chris and I were doing OCT, and we're pretty sure it started then because we were in Columbus for a very long time before that. At first we thought it was like the OCT because it was quite loud in Node 2, but then we noticed that it got louder as we went into Columbus, and it's definitely in the Bay 1 area. We think probably Bay 1, like overhead 1, but it's really hard to localize it exactly. Once you proceed into Bay 2, it gets quieter, so it does seem to be around Bay 1.
Copy. We are talking it, and we'll catch you on the other side of this handover. Station Houston, back with you for the humming in Columbus.
Go ahead.
So, Jessica, Overhead 1 has FSL, and it is currently running, although we did not expect it to be making any noise. We did have some follow-up questions for you on the nature of the humming that you're hearing. For example, does it sound like an electrical hum, a mechanical hum? Like what frequency is it at? And is there potential for any proximity to like ventilation, things that could be generating a humming noise that you can see?
So Chris and I are both in Bay 1 right now, and it's actually, in the last several minutes, it's actually changing quite a bit. Like, it was really loud, then it got a lot quieter, then it got really loud again. Now it's actually gotten a little quieter. Before that, it was pretty constant. It's very high-pitched, and I would say, like, we thought it was coming from the OCT. Like, it sounds like it's coming from, like, a piece of electronic equipment. But very high pitch and just constant. So other than what I just mentioned of the volume of it changing a little bit, the actual pitch doesn't seem to change. Right now it's gotten quite a bit quieter again.
Okay, Jessica, thanks for the info. So it sounds like maybe something associated with electronics and doesn't really sound like it's associated with airflow.
Difficult to tell because I think airflow could probably also produce that same type of whine. Right now, Chris and I were trying to put our ear, you know, next to the Columbus Inlet, and it felt really loud when my ear was close to deck 1, but it doesn't necessarily seem to be coming from, like,
the ventilation and inlet itself.
Okay, copy all. We're going to talk about it a little bit. Thanks for all of the data.
I'll try to do a sound recording, too, on my iPad or iPhone, and we'll see. Probably we'll use our iPhone, since it'll probably be higher quality.
Okay, awesome.
Sensation on 2. Of course, as soon as I got my iPhone, now it seems to be almost going away, but we'll keep an ear out and record it if we can.
Copy, Jessica. And for your awareness, what we're talking on the ground is that the Columbus team is seeing some signs of off-nominal behavior in that cabin fan, and we are talking about what the forward pass should be.
We copy. You sensation on 2 for Columbus fan.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of went away again and then started when I came back in here and I put my ear next to the intake in Columbus. It does seem like it's definitely coming from the ventilation system. And I did get a recording. I can try to play it for you over the mic or we can set it down.
All right, Jessica, that is awesome. We would love it if you would send that down to us so that we can hear it as best as possible. And just for your awareness, there has been sort of long-term degradation of the cabin fan in Columbus. We've been seeing temperature and current oscillations. They're not near flight rule limits. We're not concerned about it, but we have been talking about whether there's any additional troubleshooting we could do today.
Okay, yeah, copy all. I will figure out a way to send that down.
Copy. Let us know if you need any help with that.
Station on 2 for recycle tank. Over.
Go ahead on 2.
I can't let Jack have all the recycling fun today. Just wondering if you guys are ready for this sliver that's on my timeline at 6:30.
Hey, Jessica, we are good with that. This is Judd.
Can I say again, Mark? I didn't copy that last, Mark. Can you say again?
This is your birthday buddy, Judd.
Oh, Judd, hey, what up? So funny, because I was just thinking about our birthdays the other day. I called Fiona yesterday, and I didn't know if it was going to be you or her. And now I get to talk to you, too.
Yeah, it's good to hear you. You missed some good skiing with Andrew and Zed.
I'm very sad. But, you know, I've got to do important things, like fix the Canada arm before our birthday, Canada Day.
Hey, it's very fitting.
Absolutely. Did you say I could do this process activity for the recycle tank now, or do I need to wait for that one?
Nope, you can do it right now. We're ready for you.
All right, I will do it right now. Thank you. Great to hear your voice.
Well, Tess is back now, so I'll hand you back over to her.
All right. Thanks, Judd. Hi, Tess. I am going to take it to process.
Sounds great. Glad to be back. Sorry to disrupt the party.
Tess and Judd on 2. The UPA is in process, and the UPA fill drain compressor port is connected.
We are happy with that config. You're number one.
Oh, you're number one.
Station Houston on 2 for a Columbus noise check.
With you on 2, I'll head right over there.
Thanks.
Chris on 2 for Columbus noise. I would say it's kind of a whine now. It's changed a little bit in character. It's not as high-pitched as it was, but there's still definitely a not normal noise coming from the vent.
All right, Chris. Thanks for the data.
Yeah, it's a much lower-pitched sound now.
All right, Chris. Thank you for the supporting information. We'd noticed right before that the temperature and current had dropped back into normal, so we did see a change in the behavior on that fan, and we do think that the fan is the source of the noise that you're hearing.
Yeah, that tracks. It's super hard to localize exactly where it's coming from, but it does feel like it's coming from that sort of like port end cone deck area. That all tracks.
All right.
And Houston, Chris, just a quick question: do we have any forward plans or actions we're thinking about with it, or is this kind of a wait and see type of a situation?
And Chris, we are still talking about it. But we will take your input. If the noise is disruptive to you guys, that could influence our plans.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about it and see how it develops and evolves and let you guys know on that one. I think right now it's not too bad, but if it gets back to that high-pitched sound, that would be that might be more of an issue.
Copy. And we are talking about switching fans potentially today.
Okay, copy that you guys are discussing that. Yep.
Yep, thanks for the data, and we'll circle back to you once we have a forward plan.
Copy all. Thank you.
Houston Station 2 for Columbus Sound.
Go ahead.
Hey, Tess, I put that file for the audio file in Videos for Downlink on SSD7.
That sounds great.
We're a fan of your puns.
Trying to keep up in the absence of Mr. Huff. Station Houston on 2 for another Columbus noise check before we do a fan switch over.
Headed over. Houston Station on 2 for Columbus noise check. So right now it's not nearly the same sound it was before. There's maybe something a little bit that sounds off novel, but it's not particularly loud. But it's just kind of a little bit of a variable pitch kind of whine.
All right, Chris, thanks for your awareness. All the data on the fan returned to normal, but we are going to do a fan swap, and then we will have you guys swim back over and give it another listen. We expect it to take about 15 minutes for the swap.
Copy all, yeah. Just let us know, and we'll take another listen. Thank you.
Thank you. Station Houston on 2 for awareness. We are about to swap fans in Columbus, which will make you temporarily prime for smoke detection and CO2 awareness.
Copy, prime in Columbus.
Station Houston on 2 for imminent Columbus fan switchover.
Go ahead.
Hey, Jessica, the fan switch is about to occur. If one of you guys would like to listen to that rather than talking to Garrett, now would be the time. But we understand if you want to prioritize your flight director conference.
Well, our European astronaut apparently really doesn't want to talk to Garrett, so she's going straight to Columbus.
She flew by. Sophie Houston on 2 for awareness. We currently have 2 fans running in Columbus, and when you let us know that you're ready to listen, we will power off the second one.
Houston from Sophie. Yeah, I am ready and listening.
Perfect. In work.
Houston from Sophie, yep, the difference is very clear, remarkable. The pitch went down and the volume as well. So, yeah, it's a noticeable difference. The sound before was louder, higher pitch, not that uncomfortable. Maybe we got used to it, I don't know. So not an issue in terms of health, I would say. But now that I hear this sound much lower pitch, it feels much more comfortable.
Copy all, Sophie. Thank you so much.
And basically, for a comparison, before you were as if you were in a 50-year-old helicopter called La Gazelle, and now you're in a brand new helicopter called the H-160.
Love the helicopter references. Can't wait to hear how it compares to the 57s when you get back.
Yay. Thanks for checking all this, and clearly there was a difference. Thanks.
And Sophie, for your awareness, we are going to stay on this fan overnight, and we will circle back to you guys with the long-term plan for fan management after we talk about it some more.
Copy y'all. Thank you. Station Sophie M2 for GSCI number.
Go ahead.
GSCI deployed in node 3 for ARID K is serial number 1066.
Copy, 1066. Thanks.
Thanks to you.